In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to any First Nations people listening today.
Hello, and welcome to the Christ the King podcast. My name is Sebastian, and there is lots of stuff coming up right now. I am joined here by Alex, Jacob, and Zach.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
Okay, let's just get straight into it. So, first up, Alex, you start.
Biology. For biology, we're learning about germs, but we are mostly focusing on yeast.
So we started by learning about adaptations and how animals adapt to their environment. And then
we transferred onto bacteria. And
yeah, bacteria and microorganisms. Then we started focusing on yeast. And then
we went onto bread.
We are currently making bread just in the classroom. We got from animals and how they adapt to their environment all the way down to making bread.
Yeah, it was kind of fun because, like, when we learned about adaptations, one of the things was, like, tardigrades. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, bacteria.
Yeah, tardigrades. Tardigrades. Otherwise known as water bears.
Or moss piglets.
Yeah.
Then, like, we just spiraled down to bacteria, then now germs, then yeast.
Yeah, I think, yeast has a lot of stuff you can do with it.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, because yeast makes carbon dioxide.
With sugar.
Yeah, when mixed with sugar.
Yeah, so basically, yeast.
Yeah, yeast eats sugar.
Yeah.
Then it farts, it makes carbon dioxide. Well, that's the simplest way to put it.
Yeah, it quote-unquote farts out carbon dioxide, which is released into the container or the dough, and that's what makes bread rise.
Wasn't there something else, like if you don't cook it enough, like the yeast will still be alive?
Yeah, because even though yeast is in all our breads, in a lot of different foods, yeast is actually still harmful if you just ingest it, because it's still a fungus.
Yeah, Alex, how'd you figure that one out, Alex?
So we were making bread, and like the bread didn't fully cook, but I ate it. Aww. And after school, I didn't feel good at all.
That's why you shouldn't eat raw yeast.
Now let's talk about the woodwind incursion.
All right, so we just had an incursion somewhat recently where a band named East Winds came into our school and performed a performance for us.
Yeah, with a variety of instruments.
So there was an indigenous guy. Whoa. Wait, no, not an indigenous guy.
He was Japanese. But he knew how to play the didgeridoo.
Yeah, he was playing the didgeridoo. There was a Persian guy. So they came in and performed a performance.
Composing, I think, like three or four different songs.
Yeah, and it was very interesting because they used a lot of homemade instruments. They let us improvise.
They asked us to
describe a place.
Just make a story
for them. Describe a place, and they would use instruments to create that place.
And it was really fun, and it was actually really good to hear the song.
Their music was amazing. It really sold the feeling of like a forest or a storm. They really conveyed the stories that they were meaning to tell.
I remember when they were doing going to perform a song, they asked some volunteers. So there's like these pipes, long pipes.
Some were short, some were long.
People to come up to volunteer to, so basically you just like swing it around above your head, and it's apparently it's supposed to make a really like loud wind.
It really sold the feeling, like I was saying before.
Oh, so like there were not a homemade instrument. It was like a bike pump, just a pump, and like when you pump it, it just releases the air
into a rubber glove.
Yeah, it makes a really loud sound.
All right, let's move over to our discussion of choice, which this time is our traditional foods and cultures.
So we are, me and Jacob are Vietnamese.
So today we'll be talking about like one of the most popular dishes called pho. So basically there are rice noodles, chicken, beef, garlic, fish sauce, coriander, chili pepper, ginger, onion, spring onion, sprouted mung beans, soy sauce, lime, and Thai
basil.
Basil.
There are some around a lot.
A lot in Footscray.
Yeah, Footscray and yeah. Sunshine. And I would highly recommend it. It's just like a cheap dish.
Like every Sunday, I ask my dad, "Hey, Dad, what would you like to eat today?" He's like, "Oh, I'm really hoping for some pho."
Yeah, just the noodles alone is just amazing.
And like the beef is spot on.
Yeah, and a fun fact: the beef in pho is really thin. So you get a raw beef and you just put it in a bowl. Then you put broth in, and the broth actually cooks the beef.
This is something else. Whenever you go there, don't order large, because like a large bowl is like big.
Yeah, really big.
There's actually some around the world that there's like huge bowls, and you have to like, it's a challenge. You gotta eat it under like, I don't know, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes even like 10 minutes probably.
I probably could eat it all.
I am Croatian, which is a place in Europe. And we have lots of very interesting foods, which may or may not be from neighboring countries. And I'm just going to share some. So first up, we have sarma. Basically, sarma is a cabbage roll, which the filling is minced meat and rice, and it's wrapped in cabbage with a really nice sauce. And it's designed so that you're meant to get like a big pot and just cram as many in there as you possibly can, because it's meant to feed a family.
Okay, I'm looking over your notes right now. Vegeta, is that the guy from Dragon Ball? What?
Vegeta. It's just Vegeta. It's a dish used in a lot of European and like Croatian recipes. Oh. Yeah.
Get over it.
Same. How did I not notice it spelled like that?
Oh, so that's what it is. Okay.
Okay, so
I'm guessing it's for like a dinner or something.
Yes, it's for
most
dinner.
Most likely.
Yeah. It is definitely
for
dinner.
You can't make that for breakfast.
Somewhere for breakfast?
I mean, I would take it. Okay, next is something which is definitely from a lot of other countries. It is cheese bitter, or pita srnica. And basically, it has a dough. It's like a wrapping. The cheese one uses cheese and eggs. That's what's in this one.
That's it?
Basically, it's like a kind of like a, it's like a paste. It's a pastry dish. And it has like a bunch of like ingredients of your choice, like apples, meat, cheese. I've never heard of this, but if you're feeling really daring, then you can put all of them. And it's like, it's quite light, but it takes quite a while to make. Because like if you're trying to home make the dough, you're going to need a really big rolling pin, like a stick rolling pin, and a lot of dough. Like when my grandma makes it, she takes up the entire kitchen bench.
Ew. Oh,
that is crazy.
I know.
Well,
it's
I'm just
big.
Imagining it right now.
All right, so are you going over to me now?
Yes.
All right. You know the food chicken feet?
Yes.
Heard of that?
So good.
It somehow has benefits to your skin.
What?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
People just stop using lotion. Every day they just eat chicken feet.
They rub it all over their faces. Nah, that would not be nice.
So you know quails, yeah?
Yeah.
Like those really small birds.
Yeah, I have like lots of them at home.
I don't know how you're supposed to cook them, but they're really
you cook
good.
Quail. You cook quail? How?
I know, but like,
they're so small.
I don't know. But then they have like really small feathers as well.
You like deep fry them.
Yeah, I think it might be deep fried or just like cooked in the oven, like well roasted.
That's enough from us this week. I'm sure you've heard our voices far too much, and here's a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, Paul the PE teacher here. Just a quick word to let you guys know that on Friday the 11th of November will be our 2022 CTK School Athletics Carnival. It will be held Friday the 11th of November at the Moonee Valley Athletics Track with events taking place between 10 and 2. Keep an eye on the newsletter, keep an eye on Class Dojo, because we will be looking for parent helpers and parents will absolutely be welcome to come and attend and cheer their kids on.
And now over to Abraham and Isaac.
Thank you, Sebastian. Now we will be going on with what we have been doing in sports, music, and Vietnamese.
For sports, we've been doing badminton.
We have learned how to do forehands, and we've learned how to do serves. And the most hard thing that I experience in badminton is how to grip the bat when you're holding it, because the badminton instructor was very clear with how we were supposed to hold it.
And it was kind of difficult to imitate the grip.
Another thing for sports is Athletics Day, which is coming Friday, 11th of November, so we're getting ready for that. Isaac, why don't you tell us about music?
In music, we've been playing in harmony for our school Christmas carols.
With Christmas rolling up the calendar, we're starting to do a lot of things about Christmas, and hopefully we will get the Christmas carols right. Can you start us off on Vietnamese, Isaac?
The word of the week is badminton, Cao Long.
Another part of music is that we have been learning about...
We've been learning a few new instruments like xylophones, depending what grade you're in.
And metallophone.
What's that?
A metallophone is like a xylophone, but made out of metal, as the name suggests.
Whoa.
And we have had student instructors to teach us how to play all the instruments. For our discussion of choice, we have taken up the history of CTK.
So we have a few interesting notes here. We have interviewed around the CTK staff for their knowledge of the history of Christ the King.
And we also have a book called
The Phoenix Parish.
The Phoenix Parish, which has all of Christ the King's long history.
So we should probably start with when and who founded the school.
The founder of Christ the King Primary School was
Father Thomas Murray.
And a fun fact about him, after the school burned down, he was the one that preached at Mass, which was located outside in the courtyard.
And the Phoenix Parish was founded in 1955.
That was a long time ago. Did you know that all staff in Christ King used to teach, and there were two teachers in each class teaching the main four subjects?
The main subjects were maths, writing, reading, and religion.
Because Christ King is a Catholic school.
Even the principal used to teach.
Did you know that the school used to have cooperative decision-making between the parents, the staff, and the students? Maybe we should bring it back.
A few of the principals that we used to have were Tony Kruger, Brendan Gill, and our current one, Tracy Kunigiskis.
The founder of the school, Thomas Murray.
Father Thomas Murray.
Father Thomas Murray died sadly on the 26th of May 2012. And did you know that the camp program that we still have till today started around 1985?
And that's it for us.
Now signing off to Sienna, V, and Kevin.
Thank you so much, Abraham and Isaac. So now the three of us are going to be talking about camp quality, family engagement night.
I'm going to start off with camp quality. So basically, some ambassadors held a fundraiser that raised money for Camp Quality. Camp Quality is an amazing non-profit organization that helps raise awareness for teachers and students about the awareness of children and people with cancer. Last term, they held a free puppet show about cancer, and after the show, some ambassadors wanted to return the kindness and hold a fundraiser that's profit would be donated to Camp Quality. The students brought a gold coin for a free dress and super duper, and the fundraiser went out of the roof and we made more than $300. Of course, all the proceeds would go to Camp Quality. We're still working on something to
present them a check.
Yeah, present them a check.
Camp Quality was founded by Vera Entwistle in 1983, and the idea of the puppets and stuff came from the Muppets. she was watching the Muppets one day, and she was like, we need that to like raise awareness of children with cancer.
I guess this is very like engaging, I guess, like puppets, like students especially.
They have different shows for like their different aged audiences. So they have like one show is for like the preppies to year twos, and then the other one is for the 3s to 6s.
I think it was an amazing show. I learned a lot. So like the show was basically about there was this girl
named Ariel,
and I think she had cancer. And she had a brother, and I think she had cancer. I think they might have moved.
So she could get, like, cancer treatment in another hospital.
And I think the brother felt very left out because I think the brother thought that Ariel got, like, a lot of attention through, like, her parents and stuff. And also, like, they had to transfer to another school. And some of the kids would get, like...
Very rude.
They were very rude. They would think that... cancer could be like passed on, I guess, like transmitted.
Yeah, contagious.
Contagious to other people. So, like, everyone would like run away from the brother.
So what I have learned was that cancer is not contagious and spread. And also, it's possible that each and every age division can have cancer and have this sort of this disease.
Let's move on to what happened last term again. Family engagement night.
So, we had a family engagement night where parents could come to the school around like 7 o'clock to check out what their kids have been learning about. Sienna, why don't you talk about what the 5-6 students showed?
So, throughout our inquiry, we made airplanes. I think Sebastian and... his group
talked about it. Episode one.
And so we were going to showcase it in family engagement night. So, like, all the families could see what we were doing. And the 3, 4s, and 1, 2s also showcased some other things. Kevin, do you mind telling us what the 1, 2s, and 3, 4s showcased at family engagement night?
So, basically, the 1, 2s showcased their diorama to their trip to Braybrook Community Gardens.
There are lots of old photos on Class Dojo if you guys want to check that out. Basically, a diorama is like, it's kind of like a mini model of something. So in this case, the 1-2s like designed and constructed like a little garden, which I think is really cool.
The 3-4s showcase their Sphero balls. They seem so fun. I think you program it through an iPad. There's like an app. It seems so fun.
It was fun.
Sphero balls are like programmable little robot balls that you... So what Sienna said, you connect it to an app and then you like can program it and then make it move like in real time. That's crazy.
And it's very complicated. You have to like add like the rotation, the degrees, stuff like that.
The 3-4s have been like making mazes for their balls to go through, I guess. And they showcased that to their parents. I saw one and it moves so smoothly. That was very cool.
Honestly, all we did for the Sphero balls was just going on a straight line to just over there. But then the 3-4s did a whole maze. Like,
yeah.
That is just insane. Enough. Like, I could never.
But it really took months. It was very exciting because in math, we did like 2 sessions in Sphero balls for math. And we got to like program them and they were so fun.
And last but not least,
preppies.
We had a little preppies.
I just want to say, aren't the preppies so cute? They are so adorable.
I know, they're adorable. Like,
so
like,
small.
I know, so small.
I remember being a preppy. And also, the year sixes this year have just, where has their growth spurt gone? It's gone somewhere else because we're all so short.
I'm not sure. I'm taller.
Okay.
All right. So the preppies, they designed and constructed
playground
equipment.
Items. Yeah. They made just like stuff that you would find on the playground to like play with. So I'm guessing that's like
very fun.
Like shovels for the sandpit, like
buckets.
You know, buckets.
Maybe like swings. Even though we don't have swings on our playground.
Yeah. They said it's a safety hazard.
It seems very fun. I would have loved to do that in prep.
Oh, also, we had to vote on our 3 new school values, which is respect,
safety,
responsibility.
So the parents
got three little dots, and they had to put one on each value. On each value, so that we could narrow it down from 6 to 3 values. And
I think they were very well-deserved values for the school.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kevin, introduce the discussion of choice.
Okay, so our discussion of choice is about school life during COVID. COVID-19, the virus.
The coronavirus. Okay, let's talk COVID.
COVID was excruciating. Disgusting. No motivation I had. Like,
none.
I think it's just the fact that, like, you were in an environment, like, at home.
Where school is not supposed to be.
Yeah, and it's like, you don't get motivation because you're in your bed with your laptop waiting for the Google Meet to start. You know what I mean? So it's like,
Zoom.
Personally for me, I had absolutely zero motivation. Zilch.
None.
From my experience, in grade 4, I'm in grade 6 right now, grade 4, I would do no work, okay? No work. And, like, for 1 or 2 weeks, I would always get, my teacher would always, like, talk to my parents about how, like, I'm not doing any work. And I would always use the excuse, like, I'm sick or, like, a silent for a whole...
Don't be like Kevin. Zuna.
Kevin.
Okay, I can't speak though. For me, grade 4 was a really hard time. So, in 2020, I was in grade 4 and it was literally just the whole year we were online. And instead of doing my work like a good child, I played games while like sitting over the heater because that time was cold. And my teacher never said anything. I didn't come to any of the Zooms either because I didn't feel like it. But I have learned you should never do that because your parents are paying for your education.
Teacher butting in here. I'm curious to know, because they're very real experiences that you guys had. Like, it was difficult, it was challenging. People might be thinking, why are you guys admitting to doing no work? But talk about why it was so hard. Like, this is your voice. Explain, because I think it's reasonable that it was hard. It was really challenging. So why was it?
I think it was because we didn't have, like, the peers and the motivation around us that would give us the motivation to do work. So it's like, normally there's, like, set schedule, and I feel like COVID really, like, messed it up, I guess. Especially because, like, you were at home and you had that freedom to do whatever you want, and there wasn't teachers around you to, like,
be tell,
like,
you off.
Tell you off and say, now we have math.
I think you mean support and guide you, right?
Of course.
Yeah. I just remember, like, sleeping a lot.
For me, it was just, like, the things around me, like the temptation of, like, why would I want to do schoolwork when I could, like, be free? Like, there's no one there to, like, guide me to do the right thing. So I just thought, like, I have an opportunity. Why not take it?
So what is your guys' experience of grade 5 in COVID? Because I did grade 4. What about your year 5 experience?
I was a good child.
Yeah, grade 5 was, like, kind of better than grade 4.
I may or may not have only done work because our teacher had, like, a doc where she would post on the Google Classroom and expose everyone who didn't do work. They'd be like, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't attend this meeting, where are you?
Where are you?
I think it's fair to say that your teachers got better at online learning in that second year. You know, it was a new skill for all of us. I actually wasn't teaching in 2020, so I didn't have to do it. And I do feel for the teachers that had to, but I listen to your stories now. I certainly feel for you guys having to go through it more than anyone.
My heart would race when the teachers would be like, you need to stay back when everybody leaves the Google Meet.
Or when you're like, when you're out, like when you have your camera off, you have your mic off, you leave your, like, device somewhere else for a bit, you come back, and there's still the pop-up button that says, teacher has asked you to unmute, which means that they noticed that I wasn't there. What am I going to do?
Also, like, when the teachers would be like, I need to see your beautiful face, please turn the camera on.
It's terrifying.
Terrifying.
It's, like, especially when, like, the Chromebooks have, like, bad quality.
Mm-hmm. And when they make you look 10 times worse than, like, you already do.
And, like, when, like, I would turn on my camera, my face would be stretched apart and, like, my face would get expanded so much.
And also, no one took care of themselves in quarantine. Like, I did not brush my hair for, like, 1 or 2 weeks. That was bad.
I don't think you want to see that rat's nest, honey. Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
A teacher's best friend is Bitmojis.
Yes. Oh, my days. Our grade 4 teacher.
Bitmojis on every single Google slide.
If you're out there, we love you. She even influenced me and Mrs. Behind the Scenes to use Bitmojis in our own presentation. It was very funny.
Unfortunately, I know all of you guys still want to hear us even more, but...
Because we're amazing.
We're on a time crunch, you know, there's things that we need to do after this. So we're going to go to this is the end of episode 2.
But one more advice, a tip. If we ever do go back into lockdown, or if someone from the very, very, very far future hears this, and for some reason there's another virus, I used to skip my classes by turning my camera off and changing my name to connecting... how will they catch you?
Yeah.
You've just
revealed your secrets though. Now we're on to you.
Okay. Well,
I think
that's
this
it.
Was an
that's
amazing
a great
episode.
Tip.
Yes.
That's a great tip.
Yes. Okay, bye-bye. Bye beans.